Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, band.video, vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing support. We couldn't do it without our sponsors. Legal Shield has been in business for 50 years. They're available in the United States and Canada. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And what that is it's the collective buying power of all of us directed towards high-power attorneys in your area. It gets you access to a lawyer that you probably wouldn't be able to pay for, or you certainly wouldn't want to pay for. For just a dollar a day, $30 a month will get you in, get you access. If you have documents that you need reviewing by an attorney, if your work wants you to sign some funky new contract that includes some language about medical directives and injections and things like that, send it to your attorney. If you need a last will and testament, a financial power of attorney, a medical directive, all these things that you need that cost money that you don't want to spend the money on, but you got to have it and put it in your safe. Well, you've got access to this now for a very affordable price. You can go to our website that we built specific for this show, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com, and you can take a look for yourself. If you run a business, a small business, big enough to have a couple employees, but small enough to not have a legal department, well, there's a small business plan for that. If you're a gun owner, a gun carrier, they have documentation for you as well. If you want to get involved with the Identity Shield, reputation management, password protection, all of that stuff, they have that as well. There's a lot of different variations and a la carte items that you can add to your service. So I would just encourage you to do this. Just go to the website, read up about it, see what you think. If you think it's a good fit, pull the trigger. If not, that's cool. But the website is don'tgetpushedaround.com. Take a look for yourself, see what you think. Also to our sponsor that's been with us from the beginning, Chemical Free Body. Tim James is insane about chemicals. He will not allow them in his products. Rightly so. Okay, so it creates problems for him, but in the end, we benefit because we get vitamins and minerals and supplements that actually work. Not, you know, we know that half of them are garbage that are out there. We don't have to worry about that with Tim and Chemical Free Body. He's been on this show more than just about anybody, actually more than anybody, because he comes in, he's got great tips for how to improve your health, how to improve your diet, things you can do for free that don't cost anything. But if you are looking to supplement your daily intake and you want to get Green 85, which is a powder you mix with water and just drink every morning, I've been taking it for 3 years now. I love it. I will not stop. I buy six packs of them. They'll last me 6 months and I'm good. And so I'll encourage you to do this. I did the detox in a box package that he sent over to me. Lost so much weight that I had to buy new shorts. I was not anticipating that. I frankly don't have weight to lose. And yet I still lost almost 10% of my body weight. Now, listen, I'm not saying that everybody's going to have that same result, but it happened for me. I didn't change anything except adding his product. So do this, go to chemicalfreebody.com, take a look around, see what you think. If you find something you like, use the promo code macro to save yourself a little bit of money. And if you don't like it, send it back. Tim will give you your money back. He believes in the product so strongly that he's not gonna keep you hostage. But Chemical Free Body has been fantastic. They've got a ton of products. Oh, also, Pat Miletich, UFC Hall of Famer, has developed a new product over there called Super Soldier. So take a look and see if that's right for you. I haven't tried that one yet. I've tried just about everything else that Tim sells, but I have not tried that. So chemicalfreebody.com, promo code macro. Well, we're going to talk about food today with probably the best person that I could find to talk about food. I met Marjorie Wildcraft a couple of years ago online on this Thursday afternoon group call that we were in that was talking about alternative media and marketing and networks and things like that. And we got to know each other over the course of a couple of months. That little group dissolved, went away. Guess who I run into in an Acapulco in the green room? Marjorie Wildcraft is here. Hey, Marjorie, good to see you again. How are you?
Hey, Charlie. I'm doing great. Oh my God, life is getting so exciting these days. I mean,
I know.
What's happening?
You know, food was always kind of like, food, grow your own food. That's for farmers. You know, who cares about that?
Yeah.
I have had Jim Gale on the show. I've had a guy named Tag who has doing his own homesteading. I'm having you on. I've had Tim James on talking about food, talking about health and nutrition. It's really, really important. And this idea that we can just sort of, just leave it up to the supply chain. Boy, I mean, we got a kind of a wake up call on this a few years ago. What got you into this wild world of growing your own food?
Well, I never wanted to grow my own food, honestly. My first degree is in electrical engineering, and always wanted to live internationally. And I landed after much work, I was the managing engineer for systems engineer in Hong Kong for Motorola.
Love Hong Kong.
And I had such a great, it was almost a decade I lived out there. But I grew up in a really poor family, so like a lot of kids from always interested in money. And there was some of my coworkers was like, hey, you got to check out this guy, Robert. He's got this class on money. And I'm like, well, what do you know about that? We don't know nothing about him, but it's not, I'm like, whatever, I'll try it, you know? And this guy just blew me away with things I'd never heard before and his delivery. And it inspired me so much. I ended up leaving engineering and creating a, real estate investment business in Austin, Texas. And that business was so successful that Robert asked me if I would be a testimonial on his infomercials. And that's how I ended up for 4 years on national television selling Rich Dad, Poor Dad for Robert Kiyosaki.
No way. So, of course, now it makes sense why you like gold and silver so much.
We're doing really well, making money hand over fist, mostly passive income. You know, I had 65 houses. I was converting a 48-unit apartment, building into condos and stuff. Just all kinds of really great stuff. And I was also volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into an elementary school, which seems totally innocent, right? Like, you know, I had no idea this was going to completely destroy my life. And I'll never forget the meeting when that whole project was a complete failure. We were at the Red Rock Community Center, sitting on those, you know, those rickety metal folding chairs with the flickering fluorescent lights and chip formica tables. So excited because the teachers wanted it, the students wanted it, the federal and grant money, you know, state money was available. Like, this was going to happen, right? We were so certain. And we went to put pen to paper on who would be the farmers to provide this food. And that's when the whole thing fell apart, because there were not enough farmers in all of the Bastrop County. And Texas has a lot of their big counties. We were right next to Austin, supposedly very progressive. And there were not enough farmers to provide even part of the vegetables for one small rural elementary school. And all of a sudden, the drive from Austin just made so much sense. Like, you know, you see the new Dollar General, you see the subdivision, maybe there's a few cows. There's no food growing out there, you know, a whole bunch of overgrown areas. And as a, you know, a suburban or a city goer most of my life, you know, always in the back of your mind, whether you're going to be honest with yourself or not, you're always thinking if bad stuff comes, go out in the countryside and get food, right? And then there's no food in the countryside. And this is not just that part of Texas. This is pretty much, there's a few exceptions in the United States, but this is pretty much across the board everywhere. And I knew that there was only 4 days worth of food in inventory in the grocery stores, which is still true today. All the food is trucked in via a just-in-time trucking system that comes more than 1,500 miles. And at that time, we were surrounded by 20 million Texans who are armed to the teeth. And I just couldn't stop shaking. I just, like, my body, I mean, really, I shook for hours. Like, I mean, I don't know how I got the chairs under the table and turned off the lights and locked up the building. I was just shaking. And for, you know, I ended up selling the real estate business and just like that, like, my, this is a problem that needs addressing. And, you know, panic attacks, night sweats for years afterwards because of the horror of what I saw could happen. And I had all kinds of friends and family go, Marjorie, that you are just, you just lost your girlfriend. You know, you get your tinfoil off your head. This is the United States of America. We are never going to have empty shelves in our grocery stores.
Right.
Never.
This isn't the Soviet Union. You're not good. There won't be bread lines. No, that only happens somewhere else.
There's never going to be any supply chain problems here. And I said, look, you know, when you get the message, when you get told, basically, when you get the directive from God, I'm like, man, God, you really have picked the wrong person. Because, you know, engineering, finance, business, like that doesn't translate to growing vegetables at all. Like, I was so humbled by learning. But I knew what I knew, and I had to do it. And I said, look, we've got to completely rebuild the food system from the ground up. And backyard food production is a critical component. If you look at every crisis that has ever happened in history, people resort to backyard food production, and that's what gets them through. And throughout history, backyard, it's huge. People go, oh, get the local farmers. The local farm, you have to have backyard food production. Local farmers cannot provide all the food. And a lot of it's got to do with genetics. It's another conversation. But that's how I got into it. And I just said, look, I'm going to learn. I learned everything I could. I started teaching other people at my homestead. And those classes would book up in a just... Sometimes people will call me up. We got 30 people. Can we be over on Saturday? I'm like, oh my God, yeah. And everybody kept saying, you gotta turn this into a video. You gotta get it out to a larger audience. And
yeah.
My husband and I, former husband, we sunk like a lot of savings, which seemed like a lot. Back then, video production was real expensive and got the first DVDs made and had 1,000 of them. And, that was the moment I didn't realize it. That's when I became a digital marketer. Because it turns out that selling stuff is not nearly as easy as you would think.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's really hard to have a one product business. And there were so many other needs that needed to be fulfilled, like treating infections without antibiotics. There's very simple herbal techniques. You know, remember the Romans and the Greeks that were slashing each other up? Well, some of those guys died of their wounds, but the large majority of them healed. And there are very simple techniques that are still very effective today for treating infections. And so we created products on that, alternatives to dentists, because the dental stuff is way worse than the AMA. You know, home medicine, then, you know, beekeeping and goats and chickens and rabbits and foraging and wildcrafting and mushrooms and, you know, there's just so much. And I just kept building and building and building the resources, knowing always with the attitude that we have to make things step by step and simple, because when people come to this, they're going to be freaked out just like I was.
Yeah.
And they're going to just need to get up to speed really, really quickly. So how do we, and I'm so glad I've had all these years, actually decades, to dial that in of like exactly like the first materials I made, I'm almost like, oh God, that's so terrible. But we've had years to dial in how to specifically teach people how to get up to speed very, very quickly, assuming you're an average American, which means you know nothing, you're probably older and out of shape.
I think this is really inspirational because a lot of people make this assumption. I don't know anything about food growing, much like me. And therefore, I'm never going to know about it. If I wanted to know, but I have to have grown up in the country. Maybe I grew up on a farm or I had friends that had fun, but I don't have that. So therefore I'm stuck. But what you're saying is you have an electrical engineering background. So that is not the line of, that's not what you go to school for if you want to grow food. Yeah. You lived in Hong Kong, which I've been around the island a few times. There's not a whole lot of space to grow anything there. So that wouldn't do it. Austin, Texas real estate. I've been in the real estate business for 25 years. I even work for Lennar in Austin, Texas. So my background is the furthest thing from learning how to grow food, much like yours. But what's interesting, when you go to your website, the Grow Network, it's like a university for learning how to do all kinds of things, right? I mean, it's not just growing food. Like you mentioned, there's you can grow making your own medicine. Now, making your own medicine to me sounds like, you know, leeches and, you know, like I'm talking like old timey, like, well, if we spin this guy around three times and hit him on the head with this plant, then he'll be cured, you know, or maybe he needs good bleeding or something, you know, but to me, it's like, it sounds crazy. But then I go, wait a second. I know about the Rockefellers. I know they came in and took over the medical industry. And I know that there were naturopathic cures for all kinds of things that have been suppressed because they don't make a lot of money. Because if you can grow them in your backyard, how can you patent that and make it? So, and I start to think, well, this really isn't crazy to do all this stuff. So talk to me about this. What is the Grow Network?
Yeah, well, that's ended up being the whole organization that I ended up building. So we have a newsletter that comes out three or four times a week. We have all kinds of blog posts. The thing that I most love that I'm involved with is over the years, there have been a lot of other people who live this lifestyle. And they're like, yeah, you know, we're behind you, Marjorie. We totally get what you're doing. And we want, can you create a platform where we can all connect and do stuff? And so the forums are the area that I love the most. And we have 100 or more street team volunteers. And we have, I think, 7 moderators, a couple of admins. They're all volunteers. They all live this lifestyle. They're all from all over the world. So every growing region. And we're just always doing kind of cool stuff. Like, you know, somebody goes, what's this mystery plant? Everybody chimes in on what they think it is. Or I recently have been doing experiments on structured water, on the effect of seed germination and growth rates. It blew me away, the difference between structured water and regular water.
The difference between that? Because I've heard my friend, like I meant from Chemical Free Body, Tim James, talk about structured water before and how important it is. But I must confess ignorance on this. What is the difference between that and regular water?
You know, I really had never thought about it much either, but I went to Dr. Andy Kaufman's class at Anarchapulco, and I was like, wow, I'm going to give that a try. And you can buy this little thing that you stir the water with. And I'm like, okay, so I stir the water for 30 seconds and it structures it. Like, whoop-dee-doo, you know, is this kind of like holy phony crystal new age what? And I was blown away. And really, I mean, we're talking about a 30% difference in the germination. But, you know, I just, even a couple of days, I had 2 handfuls of black-eyed peas, and it was just obvious the vitality of the peas that had been raised with the structured water.
Interesting.
So, you know, we're sharing stuff like that. Another Keith was another community member. He and his son were doing a science fair experiment, and they went ahead and posted all the results. They were using pyramids, like just small pyramids. And they had like 4 different sets of seeds that were all under identical grow light and conditions. And they watered each different group with either just regular control water or water that had a pyramid over it. And again, the amount of growth rate was phenomenal. So there's that. There's all the other stuff too, like, you know, what is this bug? Or, you know, my hen's not laying, what might be the problem? Or I've got a stomach ache, what herbs do you recommend? Or, you know, just all kinds of anything related to home medicine, growing food, you know, living off grid. And it's just this really vibrant community. And again, these are people that have been living this lifestyle like me for 10 or 20 or 30, some of them even a lot longer, years. And they just like to get together and help and exchange ideas and help people. And so I think that's the biggest thing that I'm most proud of with the Grow Network. We do have an academy where we have, like, I don't know, 23 different certifications.
Yeah.
And quite a few of them are by people that are in the Grow Network. By the way, I've vetted all of them. I've spent time on their homesteads. And, you know, I work on the outline with them and make sure that they're good on camera and the whole thing. But this is the real deal. Like, you want to have a flock of chickens? This is what you need to do. You know, do you want to raise pigs? This is, you know, anything you want to do, beekeeping. We've gathered the resources for it and put it together in very manageable bite-sized chunks that you can actually implement this quickly.
Did you meet, I should have introduced you to her, it slipped my mind, but at Anarchapulco, did you meet or get to see Miriam Hanane speak?
She was just before me. She was the one doing the water. Yeah.
She's the director of Vanishing of the Bees. So she's did a whole movie on colony collapse disorder and the the use of insecticides by these nefarious agri giants that are killing the bees.
That and the 5G and the whole, we have got a lot of problems.
Yeah, we do.
We have got a lot. Here's another thing. A lot of people, David Dubine, who I spend a bit of time with. I don't know if you know him or
I know the name.
He remoted in on that one, but he's with Adapt 2030. Does all this really interesting global perspective stuff. In January of 2022, the Hunga Tonga volcano erupted, which, who paid attention to that, right? You know, like, big flip. It spewed so much water into the air. The water vapor across the earth in one day went up by 10%.
Really?
Huge change. And quite a few consequences of that. One is, like, California is now being inundated with rain. But one, the major influence of that is way up at the stratomesosphere, there's little tiny ice crystals now that are basically destroying the ozone layer. And the ozone hole, which you remember from the 70s, we all quit using fluorocarbons. And it was, you know, healing up pretty good. Well, now it's blown wide open again. This won't be permanent. Eventually, when all that water vapor settles out, it'll close again, but that's going to take years. The consequence of that hole getting bigger and bigger now is all of the crops in the southern hemisphere are having big, big problems because UVB radiation is very destructive to corn and wheat and barley. And so you're talking about, you know, Australia, you're talking about, you know, Brazil and Argentina and South Africa. And some of these areas are very significant food production areas. And the numbers are coming in from Australia now, like, oops, you know, their equivalent of the USDA lies, just like our USDA. And they'll have these really great projections for yield right up until the yield comes in. And now the yield is coming in and it's like 30 to 50% of what they expected. That's huge for, you know, that we have not been growing enough crops to feed the population that we have. So,
I have my tinfoil hat on pretty much all the time. And so I'm always sort of predisposed to believe that it's a nefarious thing. Never considered that it could have just been that volcano. I do remember that volcano going off, and throwing enough water into the atmosphere to create some sort of unintended consequences. And God, what a interconnected system we have here on this beautiful planet.
From my perspective, did they do it or did they not? Did it just happen? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Because from our perspective, I mean, they definitely are dicking around with the weather. You can't.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know, there's no doubt.
No doubt.
It's totally, it's too sexy not to weaponize, you know.
It's just. Yeah. It gives them all sorts of toys that they can play with if you can weaponize the weather.
What we're in is totally scripted. So whether the volcano eruption just happened to help them along or not, in 2015, there was the food chain reaction simulation,
yes.
Very similar. Yes. And they predicted like in 2020, something big happened. And throughout this entire decade, food prices kept going up and up and up and up. And then one of the most obvious consequences of that is, you know, violence breaking out. Is that's pretty much the only things that get people to riot is food prices increasing. And gosh, is it Carnegie, the Carnegie Foundation? Anyway, there's a website you can go to where you can track the amount of violent anti-government protests that are going on in the world. And I thought, oh, of course they've got a website to track it because they were one of the people in this scenario in 2015. So they're wanting to see how well they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's frustrating.
By the way, in that, they did not account for hyperinflation currency collapse, which is most immediate. Right.
Agreed. I stood on that stage at Anarchapulco on the Monday, and I said, if you people hear one thing I say, get your money out of the banks. It is a house of cards. It's not your money. You're an unsecured creditor. And if you don't, you're going to be regretting it. You don't want to be one day late on that. You want to be early. And, you know, and listen, I don't have a crystal ball, of course, but you can just look at the way things are headed and you can see this. You can see the breakdown of the supply chain when we went through COVID, see how that relates to toilet paper, right? Okay, fine. Everyone wants to fight each other for toilet paper. But what do we do when you're fighting over the last can of baked beans?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What? It's one thing when you're just filming some idiot who's hoarding all the toilet paper. But what if the person is taking the last several cans of beans and it gets serious? I think that unfortunately is a direction that we're going. And you seem to have a bit of an antidote to that through your Grow network and through the programs that you offer. So let's talk about this for a second. How easy is it for somebody who's got, oh God, I don't even know what an average size backyard is. Let's just say it's sort of on the medium to small size backyard. It's not big, but there's a little bit of space. What can somebody do to kickstart this process of I'm not saying that they're going to be completely independent of things, but they might make themselves a little bit more independent. Maybe they grow potatoes. You know, maybe they're growing them in 5-gallon buckets and they've got a bunch of buckets. Potatoes will keep you alive for a little bit, right?
Just sure will. Yeah. At that webinar I put together, which is a free webinar, because of course it's got to be a free webinar. I condensed like 20 years of this, like what is the easiest thing for the average person to get started? And yet it produces a lot of calories and more importantly, a lot of nutrition, because malnutrition is the elephant in the room, the United States. You know, people go, oh, those poor African. I'm like, no, those poor Americans, you know, like we're malnourished. So yes. So, here's the very short answer is you can produce about half of the food that you need in the size of about 3 parking spots. And you know, 2,000 calorie a day diet is, you know, a half of that is going to be 365,000 calories in a year is what you're talking about producing. And in the webinar, I use those numbers in that benchmark. Actually, I really think this situation is so urgent right now that I'm recommending people go right now. And here's the cheapest way to get a bunch of calories. And even if you don't eat this stuff, the calorie is going to be the new currency. And I'll talk to you why the red flags that you'll see and the trigger of why this is happening right now. But 50-pound bag of beans and a 50-pound bag of rice, if you go to, I just priced it out on Sam's Club just like a few days ago, it's going to be about $75 and it has about 100,000 calories in it. So you go buy 10 bags of beans, 10 bags of rice, store them well. Do not just leave them laying around because rodents and everything else likes it. So, you know, metal garbage cans or some of those dog food, you know, big, large dog, something that's going to really secure it. $750, you'll have 1 million calories, which is a good year supply. You might go, I don't eat beans or rice, but those are calories and you can trade that for other stuff. So, you know, do that right now. And then the other thing is absolutely start learning how to grow food, because the 3 component system that's in that webinar is a small backyard flock of chicks, laying hens. It's a small garden and it's a rabbit tree. And you want to get that stuff up and going right now, because just like there were runs on toilet paper, there were runs on laying hens.
Oh, really? I'm not surprised.
Yes. So you want to do this right now. This is, and this is, I know everybody's like, oh, it'd be such a great idea. All throughout the years, it used to piss me off to no end. They said, what do you do for a living? And I said, well, I teach people, you know, how to grow food in their backyard. I really think most of the world's problems could be solved with more homegrown food. And they're all like, well, that's such a nice business. And I'm like, yeah, it sure is. Wait until you need it.
Then, yeah. You know? Yeah. This is it. We need it. It's that time.
It is that time. And I can tell you the trigger. So if you don't, you're like, okay, I don't believe you. So here's one thing that I've noticed immediately. So I'm in a small town, by the way. I really believe the best small town, 1,500 to 15,000 people, kind of away from anywhere. Hopefully with people with a lot of practical skills, going to be your ideal situation. Too much smaller, you don't have enough. Too much bigger, it's going to be harder to manage. You do have to prepare for a certain amount of die-off. So anyway, let's not go there. But I hang out with a lot of people here, and it quite astonishes me how many people are still just like completely. And I can't even start with them, because I've been told I'm a nut for so many years. I just don't even have the heart. My heart wants to tell them to prepare, but I can't anymore, just because I just can't. Anyway, I'm sitting around a pool with a group of these new friends, and they're all like, hey, oh, I missed the band at the thing. And today the concerts are going to be kind of heavy metal, but tomorrow there's like this really great lineup and we're going to all go to the beach. And like, that's their worldview. And I'm like, oh my God, I really don't have anything to contribute to this conversation. I'm just going to listen and observe, you know. We were all there for a particular little event that was over, and I was just about to head out. And then the conversation shifted, and they were like, hey, have you guys noticed the price of food going up? Like, I can't believe it. Like, you know, it used to only cost me, you know, $3 or $4 for a coffee. And now it's like $5, $6 for a cup of coffee. Or you notice like eggs, like it used to be $3 and now it's like $10 for a dozen eggs. And you're like, the other one's like, you know, yeah, you know, I never thought I'd be like my mom and talking about the price of groceries, but it's getting... And I'm like, there is the first sign, is your average, you know, totally whatever person is starting to notice it.
Yeah.
The next phase will be, they're going to realize that the prices are never going to go down, and that the price increases are going to start happening more and more and more rapidly. They'll go every week, they're going and the prices are going up. And there's going to be like, at some point, we're going to have this panic buying, which is going to cause the prices to really begin. It's that whole spiral upward of price pressure. And then of course, you know, I know you've been talking about the financial situation with Justin's. Like, there's tons of dollars out there for fuel for this fire. But the other thing that is a trigger that, you know, even if you don't believe me and you haven't gone grocery shopping and you don't see this already, the SNAP payments are the thing. So in all of the survival genre books, which, you know, being in the industry I'm in, I've read a lot of them, it always starts in Atlanta at the welfare thing, is where all the riots start, right? Because Atlanta, you got a lot of poor Black, I'm not wanting to be stereotypical, but like that place does tend to have, you know, they're on margin.
Yeah, and Atlanta is disproportionately African American and
low income, poverty. Yeah.
And since you mentioned this, there was a situation where the SNAP card, for those that don't, SNAP is, it's like a, it's like food stamps. It used to be like food stamps look like Disneyland tickets where they're like different colored and everything. And now then as technology advanced, it got to be sort of like a debit card. It's like a debit card. And they had an outage.
Yeah.
A couple of, oh God, I want to say like 18 months ago. And it lasted for
a couple of days.
And it turned into not a riot. It just turned into a looting. it just turned into a, it's, well, this, my card isn't working. Well, I'm just taking all my stuff and not paying for it.
Yeah.
And then the word got out and then like the Walmart was completely looted. I watched the videos of it and it wasn't in Atlanta, but it, but I don't,
but Atlanta did have this,
was far from.
And this, you know, and the officials kept saying, look, it's just a thing. We're going to get it for you in a couple of days. But like, people were like, no, I'm, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah, they have actually shut down a whole bunch of stuff on the West Coast just because they can't, you know, Walmarts, Costco's, or, you know, different grocery stores have just shut down because the looting is so, you know, the theft is, you know, you can just walk in and steal stuff. And that's like
kind Portland, San Francisco is closed, CVS's. Walgreens, Target's now closing at 6 o'clock in San Francisco. I just saw that Cracker Barrel left Portland. Walmart has left Portland. And so yeah, I mean, it's, and things are relatively calm right now. And the looting really is out of control. So just add in food scarcity, EBT, SNAP payments, system goes down or is intentionally shut off for some reason, or the... Well,
but here's the thing, it's already happened. The trigger has already been pulled. So in 2020, during the whole COVID experience, I refuse to call it a pandemic. Anyway, the COVID experience, out of compassion, the U.S. government increased the SNAP payments by 15% to give people, you know, a little more some break. And that program expired at the beginning of March. So the payments went down by 15%. Now, between 2020 and 23, food prices have gone up way more than 15%. I would say at least doubled, if not more, in the time frame. So even with that 15% increase, these people are struggling and struggling and struggling. And now they just cut the payments by that amount. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot. I mean, if your average payment is like $250 and they cut, you know, they cut like, I don't know, $70-$90 worth out of it, you know, that hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts a lot to these people who are just barely marginal. So I believe that we will start seeing very, very violent protests occurring in the United States here just in the next couple of weeks, because that you know, people are going to be running out of the money that they got in early March, and they know they're not going to have enough to make it to the, you know, it's just not, it's, they're just not making it. And food banks are overwhelmed already. Yeah. So I think, you know, so if you aren't already going to the grocery store and seeing that this is a problem, you will start seeing more and more violent food. And they may have some other superficial label on and some other meaning. By the way, these are not the riots that are paid for, but like, the, remember the ones that were all paid for?
Yeah, yeah, we know. Yeah,
back
yeah.
The 2020 or 21 or whatever, you know, they right, were all arranged. Yeah.
The Soros, that was the he loves color revolutions, the Rose Revolution, the Tulip Revolution, the Orange Revolution. This was the Black Revolution, the Black Lives Matter Revolution.
The Black Lives Matter one.
Right.
Yeah, so, these are going to be real. These are going to be real people who are real angry, and they really aren't making it. And that's going to be happening. So, you know, I really want to beseech you and everyone that's watching this, you know, go get backup food right now. You know, first of all, if you want to just think of it as an investment, you know, if you buy a case of beans, those beans are going to be in dollars. They're going to cost you twice or 10 times as much by the end of the year. So, you know, just think of it as an investment if you want to. You know,
but
get a freezer.
But think. Think of it however you want. Investment, food security, food safety, taking care of your... whatever your justification or reason is for it, just start thinking of it, because we have food processing facilities that are just up and exploding when they're not getting hit by random airplanes. We have train derailments that are pulling chemicals that are, you know, we've got Ukraine and Russia locked down as far as exporting fertilizer, potash, things like that. So we've already got the makings of a food insecurity. And then you add into that the fact that all this stuff is sort of on a delay because it takes a couple of months to really figure it out. So while you and I think a lot of my audience already is figuring out that there's definitely something wrong, you go to the store and everything looks normal today because it's working its way down this system, down this just-in-time trucking system, or by the time it, you know, it's factored in. So if you recognize it now, we're in a period of relative calm. I was in the grocery store yesterday. The shelves are full, but I fully recognize that that may not be the case in the future. So boy, what a dummy you're going to feel like if you heard this episode. We're making all the sense in the world about why you should have the food. You know, in your brain, you should have the food, and yet you didn't do it. Ooh, you're going to be really kicking yourself. So I think it's important for us to not just sort of internalize this information, but then do the next step, which is act on it, right? So that's what you're all about there. You've got this, you've got an academy program that is not just, you know, acting.
That's the other thing. I mean, it's only going to take you an afternoon to go get the food. Like, that's something you can do very quickly. And like I said, $750, $1,000, $2,000, buy a bunch of tuna fish and whatever, you know. By the way, the most difficult products to store are fat. And for me, the best way to get fats that can store is going to be either butter that you freeze in a freezer or cans of like coconut oil or coconut cream. But, you know, if you think about it, most fats are they go rancid. Almost all the oils in the grocery stores are already rancid. And you definitely don't want any vegetable oils because that stuff's just toxic in the first place. So, and by the way, if you think about what is the most difficult to produce, you know, there are no fatty vegetables in a garden, right? You know, there's no fatty zucchinis, right? Fat is the most difficult macronutrient to produce. Protein is the next most difficult, carbohydrates then, and then fiber. That's the sequence. And so that's what you want to focus on as much as you possibly can. So yes, I have a freezer. Can't move the camera over there, but I have a freezer full of meat, right? Chicken and beef and pork and lamb and fish and,
right,
you know, and then I got cans of tuna fish, right? And, you know, and then yes, absolutely, the beans and the quinoa and the stuff, because and rice and wheat, you know, all that, even though I don't eat a lot of that, I've got it because, you know, there's also the community to think about. But really, you can handle that problem right away. I don't think
right
you
away.
Need to spend the year on the freeze-dried 25-year shelf life, because you ain't going to be waiting 25 years. This is going to get eaten this year.
Yeah.
And
or traded.
Traded
for the other things that you need that you maybe didn't think of. I need a guy that can fix my tire.
You have to learn how to grow food. You will absolutely have to learn how to grow food. And again, you shouldn't be intimidated. Like, I did not have any background in it. And honestly, I can honestly say that it's the most enjoyable part of my day. In fact, I used to do a series of interviews with really, really high level, like executives that are running huge divisions of people or high tech, you know, entrepreneurs, $25, $50 million budget, startup company, you know, people really, really highly productive, you know, angel investors, highly, highly productive people that they did not need, they could buy anything they wanted, but they grew some of their own food. And the reason they did it was, well, first of all, you cannot get a taste like that. Even if you're buying from the farmer's market, you cannot get the taste that you can get growing your own. The other is that these people are so highly productive that even in their downtime, they want to be productive. And a good solution to that is growing their own food. But they said that was the best part of their day. That's, they typically spent about 40 minutes in the backyard with either the chickens or the tomatoes or the peppers or whatever it was. It was their favorite thing. And that, I found that for me, you know, that was the thing that helped me heal on the physical level, on the mental level. You know, you are smarter when you're eating highly dense, nutritious food. Emotionally, you know, am I worried about, you know, yeah, I'm worried about, but is it going to, do I have the same level of worry as the guy who's like totally dependent on? No, absolutely not.
There's something to be said about that.
And you can even go all the way up Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and people don't want to start out with a spiritual level, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to have your hands in the dirt and you're going to be working directly with forces of creation and magic and mystery and miracles, all kinds of things happen. You get connected in a whole nother way when you start growing your own food. So I would never not be growing my own food. So I want to let you know that, you know, we're talking about some really harsh realities here. You will look back on this and you'll go, oh my God, that was the best thing I ever did in my life. So when I look back at that event in Red Rock, Texas, I'm like, that was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. Like,
it's so funny. Huh? Open.
Yeah.
Everybody I know that has chickens loves them. They love the process of having chickens. They love that they get into it. They start to get almost like a little bit addicted to, like, oh, let's go see what the chickens are doing. They're so fun. They're so cute. They're so interesting. They're doing all the, and they also lay eggs, and everybody seems to want to have more and more chicken. Once you've got chickens, you feel like you're sitting on a gold mine for a lot
of
people.
You are sitting. And actually, that's the first, you know, so I have a three component system that I'll have in that webinar. And the very first component is a backyard flock of six laying hens. And the reason it's six is partly because that's an easy coop for you to build. It fits in a parking spot. You know, you don't want to start out with a huge thing because then you're going to have probably a huge mess and a huge failure. An average laying hen will lay about 250 eggs a year. They do need to take some time off for molting, which is they let go of their feathers. If it gets too hot or too cold, they have a hard time. So 250 eggs a year, six hens, that's 1,500 eggs a year. That's three egg omelets. You have breakfast covered for the rest of your life, and you'll have 33 dozen eggs to share, give away, trade, barter, whatever. So six laying hens, And you've got a huge amount of protein and fat, and actually it's 94,500 calories if you're getting medium-sized eggs out of those hens, which would be pretty easy to do. So hens, that is the first part. Absolutely.
You guys built a web landing page for me, which was cool to share and show people this free webinar as well. So if people want to check that out, I definitely encourage you, you're going to laugh at this one, charliesbackyardfarm.com is the website. The idea of me having a backyard farm is pretty cool. I don't currently have a backyard farm. I do have some space. Actually, we have a little bit of a garden, but it's not nearly enough. And we're in Denver, and it's snowing as I record this. So it's like, it's a little tough from time to time. But if people want to go, they can go to charliesbackyardfarm.com and just watch. Just take a look at the video. Just see what you think. I mean, there's a lot of really great information in there.
If nothing else, look at the plans for the chicken coop, and realize that all those materials are going to become very, very highly prized. Look at the plan. There's a rabbitry I recommend, and look at what you need to buy to build that. Not only is the livestock going to become immensely valuable, but the building supplies to create it are going to become very, very immensely valuable. So there was a huge run on laying hens back in 2020. Like when people were like, oh my God, the end of the world as we know it. They didn't realize that whole thing was fabricated. But there were, and there will be. Get started, please. I mean, especially if people that are listening to you, they know what they have. We've got to have our community be prepared. And Acapulco was huge for me. I really opened up more and more to Mark Passio's work and a whole bunch more on actually, I'd always kind of ignored who the ruling elite were. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
And now that I'm realizing it, I'm just seeing the magnitude of the lies or the rewriting of history or the forces of what has been done to humanity for millennium. We have to have our community be strong. And if you don't have your own food supply, you are going to submit to CBDCs and FEMA camps or whatever the hell else they got planned for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have to have our own supplies.
As they say, the mouse gets stuck in the mousetrap because they can't understand why the cheese is free. And when we get into a situation where the supply chains are broken down and there's no food on the shelf, I assure you the cheese will be free in the FEMA camps, but it will be a mousetrap that you walk into and never get out of. So the idea of us being a little bit more self-sufficient is, I think, is very appealing to a lot of has always been appealing, but now more so than ever, because people are starting to feel, oh boy, you know, all these things that we thought were so solid seem to be kind of cracking. Supply chains, and we just assume, especially here in America, we have food. We have so much food that we throw half of it away. We have so much food that we're coming up with, you know, 76 different types of peeps for you know, we've got fake food. It's not even real food. We have so much food that we've decided to create fake food, you know. So, and we're just inundated. And then you go to the mall and you see people that are 600 pounds and you go, oh my God, I mean, there's just food everywhere. Until there isn't, right? And that ends quickly. So can we talk about, like, what is the what's a good suggestion for somebody that's limited on space? Somebody that's in an apartment, somebody that's in a big city, that they don't have the flexibility to have an outdoor area. You mentioned living in Hong Kong, Kowloon, you know, these places where you're going straight up.
Yeah.
But can you grow, though,
there
right?
Still are a lot of options. Yeah, actually, and I need to shoot this video, but I've been working with someone here locally for the last year. Quail can live indoors, and they're smaller eggs, but this friend of mine I set her up with, she's got eight quail. She gets eight quail eggs a day. They make a pretty nice little chirping sound. Mm-hmm. You keep it clean. There's no odor. In fact, you're going to get a lot of great compost out of it. And quail are just, again, it's a very similar little bitty chickens. you're going to have eggs. Mushrooms, we don't need a lot of sunlight to grow mushrooms. They want to be at about the same temperature that you do. You can grow mushrooms indoor. There's, of course, all the microgreens and the herbs and the patio stuff. And then, of course, there's all the, you know, the balcony and the rooftop type stuff. Then there's the other options of if you can get in a community garden. There's a lot about learning how to forage and how to wildcraft. There's also a thing called Shared Earth. I think there's a couple of other websites out there where people say, hey, I do have a backyard. Do you want to grow in it? And then we'll work out, you know, how that, you know, or just like I was here, I moved here to Puerto Rico and I didn't have the place I was in was too shaded and it wasn't going to work. I just took a strip of ground that was a public passageway toward the beach and I just declared this 10-foot by 10-foot area and I got a pickaxe and just started growing food in it. it's called guerrilla gardening, you know.
Yeah, I love it.
Just take it over and start using it, you know. And a really funny story there was I saw this really ratty looking bucket out there and I thought, oh, that's such a shame. The Puerto Ricans often have a lot of pride. And it's like, oh, that's such a shame. Somebody left a piece of garbage like that. And I was looking at it, I was like, wait a minute, that's a new rope on that bucket. And I'm looking and I'm like, oh, it looks like somebody's using that to dip in the little stream here to get water. And I started looking around and there actually were trees that apparently had been intentionally planted. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not the only one who's real gardening here. Somebody is real food foresting. And it turned out to be my next door neighbor. Yeah.
That's great. So you guys are like minds.
You know, then we're like helping each other plant more trees. And so this may already be going on. You can find it going on.
I love this. You've got Mike Adams on your board of directors, don't you?
Well, Mike and I go back a long ways. Yeah. And he's actually, I'm going to be on his show in a couple of weeks. And got a great story about Mike if you want to hear it. Living in Red Rock, Texas. And I was wanting to building, and you know, actually, Charlie, when I get back on with you, we need to talk about how to build community, how to find other people who are like-minded and get on the same page with them very quickly, because you've got to have community. But I was doing that in Red Rock and I'd have a lot of people come and go and I would show them what I was doing and what we offered. But we were keeping the whole thing below the radar because we didn't want to be, you know, that. And Mike Adams came through one time and, you know, you've seen what I was doing. And he's like, wow, that's pretty impressive. And he said, oh yeah, but I just bought a house on the west side, which is where all the big expensive houses are. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And he goes, what do you mean? I mean, that's where all the millionaires big. And I'm like, yeah, you don't have any water there. You got great views. That's because there's no trees growing, you know, like where the trees only get about 10 feet tall. And you got a bunch of rich people there and no skills, you know, and there's no soil. And he's like, huh, interesting. So we kind of lost touch for a couple of years, and he came out with that food forensics book, which was fantastic. And I said, hey, Mike, can I do an interview with you on that? And I want to just get the word out about this food forensics because it's really great. He said, yeah, sure. Why don't you do that? I've just gotten done building a new TV studio. And I said, okay, great. And I was preparing to have to drive, 4 hours across from where I was to Austin to get all the way to the west side. And he says, no, the studio is actually only about 20 minutes from you. I said, really? I said, you have that long of a drive? That doesn't make any sense. Why would you build a studio over here? He says, oh, you were right. I moved. I don't live that far from you now. It's when I was living in Texas. He was like, yeah, there's no soil, there's no water, and there's no people with skills. I moved over to the east side where you are. So
when we see this stuff in advance, we seem insane. You know, we seem like, like paranoid, like worrying about things that aren't worries to most people, because really to most people, they aren't. But I think that we're going to be ahead of the curve because of our paranoia, because of our insistence on independence, on not being, you know, we see how poorly the government runs. Well, frankly, everything, but it went, especially when it comes to like a crisis management, they get an F in part because I think they make the crisis and want the crisis to happen. So I don't think they're in any big hurry to put it, you know, to settle it down. So the fact that we can get out in front of this in advance now during a relatively calm period before it's coming seems like this is one of those moments where you'll look back on and say, I knew it was there. I knew I needed to do it and I didn't do it. So I'm hoping that people will just go in and go to the website and watch this and get inspired to start doing it. Because like you it's not just food either. You're making like, you're treating infections without pharmaceuticals, which 97% of them are coming from China. If we have a war with them or a supply chain issue with them, guess what? There go your pharmaceuticals. But you're able to grow herbs and plants that can treat infections too. Can we wrap up by talking about the power of this and how that takes you out of a whole different supply chain of medical pharmaceuticals and being dependent on that for things that, you know, we knew our great, great grandparents knew how to do this and we've lost it through time. So how can we do this? Talk about that real fast.
Well, I'm going to have to run here because I keep getting this thing about another meeting, but I'll give you a teaser. You know, like I've gotten bitten by a copperhead snake. I've had mastitis, conjunctivitis, eye infections, huge lacerations, burns. All of that is treated with very, very, very simple home remedies that are highly effective. And it's been a whole brainwashing job that those home remedies don't work. They do. And it's very simple. I mean, your great grandparents knew how to do this stuff and they did not have Cuisinart and they did not have Google and they generally didn't have doctors. So, and it does work. There's a lot that you can do. We'll come back. We'll do a show on community. And then after that, we'll do another one on home medicine and we'll get more into how to get started on home medicine and what you can do and where you can get started. But I really want to stress to people, do the food thing. And especially if you're listening to Charlie right now, you're an open-minded individual we need you in this fight because this thing is falling apart and we need people to be around to rebuild it. And we need people who are strong and that understand freedom and we have to go into this with a strong base. And if you're starving, you're going to be susceptible to anything. And if we can grow our own food, which you're going to have to, growing our own food is so vital. Really, you know, stock up, get at least a year's worth. I'd recommend a couple of years worth if you can afford it, and of stored foods, and then start learning to grow food. And of course, we're all getting into it because we're freaked out. But I'm going to tell you, actually, is the best thing you'll do in your entire life. So I'll leave it on that.
That's the best. That's Marjorie Wildcraft, everybody. Her links will be in the description for the Grow Network. If you want to check out the free seminar, go to www.charliesbackyardfarm.com. Marjorie, you're the best. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks. If you guys like this episode, take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggression or the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thank you, everybody.